Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. Three Drink Minimum Podcast. Episode 9 and 3. So that was nuts. Yeah, let's go. That was nuts, man. Let's be honest here. Let's keep it real. When they were down 23-7, we all knew that they were going to come back. It was just a matter of how many points they would win by. So if you had, they would win by only 3 points. Congrats, you won. So cheers to everybody. Dos Equis for now. Lagunitas IPA earlier. That was Dave and Buster's. So we're going to skip around here. We're going to start at the top. But so I was at Dave and Buster's. And when Desmond King ran that punt back, I honestly thought that I was going to get kicked out because I was running around like a little ass kid. And you would have thought that I just won the lottery. So much to recap, man. So let's just go from the very, very top. So Chargers come out hot, come out of the gate, moving the ball. It seemed like they had some momentum building up. 4th and 1 at Heinz Field, primetime, night game. You have a quarterback that is hot as anybody in the league. He's feeling it. And 4th and 1, and you decide to kick a 52-yard field goal. Like, come on, man. There's no chance that was going to be the right decision at any time. They're playing Steelers. The Steelers are going to score points. They're one of the best offenses, have probably the best receiver duo. I mean, besides the Vikings. If you want to say the Vikings, sure, but I mean, they just have a really good receiver duo. So they're always going to put up points. All right, so whatever. They missed the field goal. The decision was going to come back to haunt them no matter what. And I think like two plays later, that's when they go up top to Antonio Brown, and then they score. So that decision was looking very, very, very bad. The minute the kicker came out, so following that, I believe the Chargers went 3 and out again. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let me look it up real quick. So, yeah, so they went 3 and out. Then the Steelers scored again. Luckily after that, And before we get there, how about starting off the game with Travis Benjamin touches? So not just Travis Benjamin touches, but we're talking about this is the first few plays of the game. So you spend all week drawing these plays up, and Ken Wisenhunt thought it was a good idea to give Travis Benjamin the ball more than once on the opening drive. Mind you, this is after Keenan Allen had, I think he had like three or four catches on the open drive. So I don't know what that was about. I don't know. I'd never want to see that again. But there just has to be some sort of understanding that underneath 5 yards, he should not get the ball. And yeah, so I did see a lot of people saying it was back to back. I don't think the second play was designed for him, but he still got it. So, I mean, that just can't happen. Like it should be common sense. If you want to throw the ball underneath to a guy that is very good with the ball in his hands, there's no problem with giving the ball to Keenan Allen all the time or most of the time. We've seen him with the ball in his hand. And he's good on these screens. So just do that. Just because he's not fast doesn't mean it won't work. Benjamin is like 120 pounds. So it's just not going to work out. So after that, excuse me, so it actually did work with Benjamin on that long play where the refs missed the false start, which was a pretty, pretty costly false start, man. They, who was it? Okung or Tevi? One of those two, they clearly jumped. And didn't matter. With that said, that doesn't mean like you should just, okay, it was Tevi. So that doesn't mean it's like okay to just give up like the touchdown. You still have to guard the person. You still have to stop the man. So whatever. That Steelers didn't do what they needed to do. So Chargers scored. That made it 13-7, I believe. So they traded a couple punts. Steelers got a field goal after the Chargers blocked punt because it would not be a game if the Chargers did not mess up on special teams. This is week in and week out where whatever it is, it's like the same mistakes. They always seem to get outnumbered, outflanked on the punt team at the end of the game. That really didn't – I mean, the Steelers were clearly just jumping off sides. But, yeah, the special teams is just a mess. And – luckily, Dez bailed him out later in the game, and we will get to that. But so after the teams traded a few punts, the Steelers scored 10 more points, 23-7 at the half, where I was just like, yeah, it's a wrap. I was pretty convinced that I figured that the Chargers would score a little bit, but I didn't think that they would be able to mount the comeback that they did. So one big thing that they did – Jesus, man. One big thing that they did was get a stop out of the halftime. If the Steelers would have scored out of the halftime, the game was probably just going to be, I mean, it would have been over from there. So luckily, big stop out of the half, and then that's when they got the ball rolling, got the ball back, and ooh-wee, that's when the run came on. That's when the fun part came on. So at the end of the second quarter, got the touchdown. They came down. 13 plays, 88 yards. And that's when we saw them. It was essentially, we're just going to give the ball to Keenan Allen. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. The first four plays went to Keenan Allen. And how about Justin Jackson, you guys? So like all year, and this happens all the time. So the Chargers backup running back is basically every team's like backup quarterback when they're struggling. Justin Jackson, as someone said, Justin Jackson is light years better than Eckler. He looks like, oh, man, he just looks electric. I don't know. I really don't know what else to say. It's clear that, like, he has fresh legs and he's moving at a different pace than everybody else. But, he was running very, very hard. He was breaking a ton of tackles. And his vision was very good. There was a couple plays where he cut back, but it wasn't just that. Like, he was changing directions, like, on a dime. Just he looked like a seasoned running back. He was impressive, man. I don't know what his final stats were. Somebody can show me that. But I imagine he averaged, like, over 8 yards a carry. Like, he was doing very, very good. So Harden's come down and get a touchdown. Now that it's – and that two-point conversion was a really good pass really good play call to Gates. So they set up a little play action, and Gates just ran to the back of the corner, and Rivers threw a dime. Rivers' first half was not so good. Rivers in the second half was very, very, very good. So Chargers get another stop on defense, which the defense was honestly very good tonight. I like to look at the stats here, but it seemed like their yards per play was a lot better in the second half, that's for sure. Pittsburgh scored the last touchdown that Pittsburgh scored was the only time that they scored in the second half. Then again, it helps when you don't have the ball, so you can't score. So second half drives for the Steelers, 7 plays, 28 yards. 5 plays, 2 yards. 3 plays, 5 yards. And then the final drive was a 12 play, 78 yard for a touchdown. But if you can have, 4 drives and they only score once, that is how you do it. And that's exactly what the Chargers needed. That punt return was huge, man. And something that I honestly haven't talked about, and that I really hate complaining like about the refs, but I thought for the majority of the first half that Bosa and Ingram, Bosa especially, but there were a couple times Ingram where they were just getting like mugged, like it wasn't called too. But I think during the Chargers had to be in the ref's ear about it, just because. I mean, there's no way that some of these plays just couldn't get called. So they called them, and once they started calling those holding plays, that's when the Steelers offense started to slow down, because there were some bad ones where it was a third down. I remember where Bosa literally got tackled, and they didn't call the holding or whatever. So That was good. That was a nice little change. Let me see here. Coaching staff didn't plan the run game well for Eckler at all. Hardly got him outside. They got demolished in the second half. Yeah, no, I agree with that big time. And I was wondering about that with the whole week to prepare. What would be the difference between this game and the Titans game? When just as far as who, like, what are they going to do with Eckler? Are they going to know what to do with him? But it seems like they view him in a very, very specific role. And that role is not going to change no matter who is active and who is not. So he is essentially their gadget guy, and that is pretty clear. I wonder – here, I'm going to look this up real quick. I don't know. Does anybody know how much Justin Jackson weighs? It says he weighs sub 200, 198. I wonder maybe if it's just like his running style, but I don't know. He did his thing today. But, yeah, I think Eckler is just the third down, whatever it may be, change of pace type back. He's 210 now. That's good. Yeah, that is pretty good. Lynn literally said last week he wasn't going to change the game plan at all for Eckler with Gordon. Now, yeah, that's the problem. So Eckler is – I think he's very good. I do think he's a really good inside runner. But I think his biggest runs come when he's just, like, running off tackle and has a play to just put his foot in the ground and go. And we didn't really get a chance to see that tonight. We saw a couple of those runs with Jackson, and we saw what he did with them. KP, do you browse Twitter or Reddit during the game, threads during the game? Because I had to close both at half. I know we were bad, but the negativity on both is so rough, especially from the likes of Richards and others. Yeah, I talked to Richard a lot. Richard's cool, man. Richard is – if you think he does not like the Chargers, to be fair, there's about 10 things that he likes. So the Chargers just happen to not be on the list. But, I don't browse, just because sometimes I'm streaming, so I'm, like, a little behind. And other times, man, I just don't want other people's opinions to, like, change the thought, like, just to change my thoughts. And it wouldn't happen again, but – and there are other times where – I honestly just don't want to see the stupid things people say. So I just try to sit back during the game and enjoy it, because I'm going to rewatch it anyways and try to just form – it just helps me form my own opinions. Eckler's biggest runs inside come on draws or delays. Yeah, I mean, that's usually true. But he also has – he has these plays where he's like coming like just not like a sweep where it's all the way flat, but where he's just like at an angle. If you imagine like the left leg of the left tackle. Like, it's right off tackle, just like that. Or Steelers fans not shutting up about the refs while Bosa getting mugged. Yeah, that, see, I saw a lot of – that's another good reason, like, to not browse Twitter. So in the second half, like, I'm seeing people, like, send tweets about – they're complaining about this, they're complaining about that. And I didn't even want to bring up Bosa just getting mugged like that because he really was. So it's tough not to bring it up. But, I mean, just there's so much that can go on and so much that I don't want to let – ruin my train of thought. So let's get back to the game. So Chargers, that 2-point conversion was great. Dez King, punt return. Then they get a 3-and-out. So they're just rolling right now. And one thing that I will say is if you do not believe in momentum after you watch this game, then you will never believe in momentum. Because once the Chargers sees that, there's just no turning back, man. So touchdown, the final three drives were, yeah, all scores. So Chargers get the ball back. They get the ball back to start the fourth quarter. They go 7 plays, 79 yards. They actually never had a third down on either of those plays. That's pretty crazy. And that's when, yeah, Jackson had a couple of those really, really hard runs. So he had one run, or his first carry of that possession went for 18 yards. His next touch went for 19 yards. And then he had the 18-yard run. Just he, it's really like cliche to say this, but he really just wanted it. You can tell that he had no intention of going down at first, and that's just kind of what you need, man. You kind of need just willpower. And so let's see here. Can we talk about Derwin balling out again? What's up, KP? Drink a choice. If you missed it, drink a choice right now at Dos Equis. Earlier, I was drinking Lagunitas IPA. That's what I had during the game. Propose a toast for everyone. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. We'll do that at the very end. That's what I'll get out of here on. Yeah, man. Derwin saved a lot of plays today. So he had the interception, obviously, when Big Ben was hit and he kind of threw a little fade away. That was his man in coverage. So Derwin got that play. I think the play before, he had the little knockdown, like he knocked the pass away. If you remember, probably the biggest play was when he was when James was playing like a too high safety, and who was it? Oh, it was Antonio Brown down the sideline, and he knocked him out of bounds. When it seemed like, I didn't even think that Brown got 2 feet in until they showed the replay, and then it was pretty obvious he only got 1 foot in. That play was a big time play. I don't recall if they scored or not, but just like these little plays like that where you can just tell he's a special player because he can do so much. And when you see what the other players do, like what the other safeties do, like, and it's not fair to compare him to Adai, but if you just take Adai for the very first big play of the game when Antonio Brown had that deep pass that he beat Hayward. So they're just playing like a simple cover three, and there is nowhere else for Adai to be. And he's just always so late to get to where he needs to be from that deep safety position where they've done almost everything that they can to take him away from that. Like the latest adjustment has been Adrian Phillips goes deep. Adai goes in more of the middle, and James goes James is just playing man-to-man coverage. They said Derwin is like Cam Chancellor. He's more like Sean Taylor. Derwin is a stud. Yeah, so I don't think that – so obviously you don't want to go into like too much Sean Taylor stuff, especially after this week. But there's so much that he does for this team as far as blitzing, making open field tackles underneath, which as you guys know has been like a huge issue for this team. Like his very first play, like that, actually that same drive, I believe right before the interception, that's when he came up and he had that huge hit and he just like buried the running back. Just so many plays that he makes look like it's not that big of a deal, and he just keeps the offense behind the chains. That at the very, very end there, that was pretty crazy. So let me ask you guys this. When it was 30-30 after the Steelers scored, Chargers took the ball over 4 minutes. So 4-minute offense with Phillip Rivers should be nothing to go down and get 3 points. Were you guys confident that the offense would score? So I wasn't so sure. It was, I mean, these are the kind of games that, like, you just grow gray hairs because you're waiting. You just know something bad's going to happen. But honestly, man, this season, it hasn't been like that. It really seems like this year is a complete 180 of the years past, just because the ball seems to bounce their way at the most inopportune times. Yeah, more confident than usual. He was in rhythm. Let me see what Rivers finished with, because I know his first half, it didn't seem great, but shoot, man, he finished 26 of 36 for 299 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, what's 36, 72% completion percentage, man. That's pretty damn good. And let's see some of these other stats. So, yeah, so Jackson went 8 for 63, averaged 7.9 yards a carry. Keenan had 14 catches for 148 yards, and they needed every one of them. He had 19 targets. He also had 2 drops, which it really didn't – like, how – that just doesn't happen with him. But how about Mike Williams, too? Mike Williams had 3 catches, caught all 3 of his targets, but it seemed like all of those were big. And then, of course, Benjamin had the long touchdown. Tyrell only caught 1 ball, but that was for a big conversion as well. Antonio Brown had a big day, 10 for 154. But on the other hand, they shut Juju down, and Juju came into the game with over 1,000 yards receiving. I actually thought Juju would have a big day. I know that hit was really bad, like the helmet-to-helmet on Jatavis. But those are the kind of plays where it seems like he is just he's just flying around, man. He had 12 tackles, led the team in tackles. I think I believe Adrian Phillips actually was second in the team in tackles. So they don't mind going small, just because the Steelers still, like, they couldn't do it. They're not patient enough. A lot of teams aren't patient enough to run the ball, even when you are small like that. Steelers didn't do it. So even when they were up big, which is kind of surprising. So I wonder if that's a talking point for the Steelers fans right now, is should they have ran the ball more with that giant lead? And obviously it's easy to say now in hindsight, 2020, but I mean, I'm sure that they feel that way. So Connor finished the game with 15 carries. And that is saying something, considering that, you know, they were up that big. But, oh, well, let's see what else. What else do we have in the stats? Yeah, that Bosa sack was huge. It seemed like they might have had a chance to get rolling there, but Bosa beat his man, and that was right before – I feel like right after the holding calls stopped going. So, essentially, once they stopped holding, that's when the Chargers defense came to life. I really don't – Melvin Ingram actually didn't record a statistic. That's kind of – it really doesn't happen, at least as far as the season goes. So, yards per play, the Steelers, 5.3. That's really good. Usually, if you can hold an offense like that below 6 yards per play, you're doing a good job. They did score each time they got in the red zone, but they did have that turnover. So, that's what it was going to take. It was going to take sacks, and it was going to take turnovers. And they didn't get after Ben. They only had 2 sacks today. And it seemed like the entire first half, they just could not get after Big Ben at all. He had all day. And that first or that longer Brown play, that was one of those plays where Ben just, you know, makes it – what does he do? He, like, extends the play, runs around for forever. And that was weird. Adrian Phillips kind of overran that play, but – can't give Ben that kind of time. Can't give the Steelers that kind of time. Who would you guys say the player of the game was? So you can go a couple different ways. The game really swung on Dez King's punt return, and after that, he also had that big knockdown. Then you could say Keenan. Keenan had 14 catches, and they needed every single one of those. That's for sure. You can say Derwin. Derwin had the interception. Derwin had he had the hits. He had the breakups. He was essentially all over the place. You could say Justin Mail 28 Jackson. Yeah, buddy. You can say that. Why wouldn't you? He when he was in the game, he gave the offense a spark that Eckler was not giving them. So you can go in a lot of different directions, and it's probably the sign of a good team, like a good team performance, you could say. Yeah, he really did. Nick Ames has a good point. Just if you're going based on the first half and what the game probably could have been, the game probably could have been, if it was 23-7, it could have easily been like 35-7 if Derwin hadn't made a couple of those plays. So that's a good argument right there. Give to Philly, never forced any bad throws or turnovers. He did. He definitely did. That Keenan Allen touchdown should have 100% been an interception. I know people were kind of a little leery about that one where he was kind of – he got hit. He was throwing it over like a linebacker. I believe it was to Keenan on another third down. I thought that was just a crazy throw, like just a typical Phil throw. I also think Hayward did a great job. I would love to know how many of those yards were on it was Mike. Nice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was one of the contested catches. Yeah, he'll go up. Mike Williams will jump super high for it. Like, he'll, like, take a big shot, but he won't seem affected by it. I really like that. I would keep using him over the middle because it seems like – so I know at one point this season he was, like, 9 for 11 on contested catches, and tonight just proves why. He's not affected by contact. Jackson starts. If Jackson starts, he goes for 200. I like that. I like where this is headed. So I wonder if, like, just plays like that, just some of the runs that he has today, makes it easier short term to sit Gordon, because so there's talk about Gordon coming back next week. Why? There's honestly no reason why he would play against the Bengals. Bengals have Jeff Driscoll. AJ Green went down today. They don't have any weapons. So sit Gordon for another week. Let Jackson get a little more work in and just keep rolling, man. When are we getting rid of 37? Yeah, I think that's the guy, man. I don't think a guy is going anywhere anytime soon. He can only – so just think about what he's done this year, like in the roles that they've asked him to do. So he's not going to play around the line of scrimmage predominantly because – they have that replacement. And in my opinion, they're doing the right thing because the impact you can make around the line of scrimmage, just as far as coverage, blitzing, tackling, is so much more. It's so much more than just making like deep plays 20 yards off the ball. You can. But the plays that are that far off the line of scrimmage, you are exposed if you're a limited athlete like a Dice. But to your question, they're trying to hide him, man. They're trying to make him like as a rover, so he's kind of free, but not 20 yards. It's more like 10 to 12. And even then, he looks kind of lost. But Chelsea Haddock's ass says, if you dab, I will donate $100. Yes, I want $100, but I cannot be a puppet for $100. Normally, I would say yes, but there are just way too many people watching. Thank you, Chelsea. Gordon shouldn't play till Kansas City. Yep, totally agree there. There's no reason for him to be in. There's no reason for him to be in the game. Let's see. What else do we got here? What else? I mean, shoot, they won. There's no. So I've seen a lot of. I was actually on Twitter early on, and I was seeing. I was seeing a lot of people say that. It was actually Chiefs fans, and they were just saying, let me think. They were going over like the Chargers. I'm surprised that the Chargers, and they did this. I'm surprised that the Chargers are struggling with a team over 500, and they did this with they did it again. They did it last week early in the game. So as the game goes on, naturally the Chargers are coming back, and then they get quieter and quieter and quieter. I don't know, man. It feels like off a comeback like this tells you like you're the real deal. As far as Tyrell goes, yeah, so he's been hurt, and he's been like a game time decision the last 2 weeks. I think it's his groin. It just he just can't run, and if he can't test it, like if he can't really go 100%, then he's probably not going to be able to give the offense much. So I don't know, man. I think it's pretty clear that he's just not healthy, but he needs to get healthy at the right time, and I imagine that he will. Yes, Chiefs fans are indeed that. If the Chiefs played a real team, they would have lost. So yeah, they kept it close today too, man. They it was 33-30 against the Raiders, and the Raiders had a chance. It was 3rd and 10, but the Raiders are the Raiders, so they gave up the play, and then the game was never close again. But I don't know. If we just want to stick to the Chargers, so they get the Bengals next week, and on a short week they got the Chiefs. That will be a good one. I don't think that they are going to struggle to score points like they did in the first half tonight. I also don't think that they're going to be able to get off the field in succession like they did tonight. But I know that before tonight, for the last 2 months, the Chargers were like the best defense and just points allowed over the last 2 months. So I wonder, obviously, this 30 is going to hurt. It still doesn't feel like they played a bad game. And I would love to know the first half splits of what, how many yards they gave up in the first half compared to how many yards they gave up in the second half. What do you think of the game plan should be going against KC? It should honestly look exactly like the second half tonight. So if I just go back to the play-by-play here, they kept the ball away from the Steelers, and that's what you do, like, to get offenses. So they had a 13-play drive. They had a 7-play drive. They had an 11-play drive. That is their second half possession. So 8 minutes and then 4 minutes and then 4 minutes. So, but you're chewing up clock, and while you're doing that, you are not allowing one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL to make a play. But I think in the case of Mahomes, man, Mahomes threw like 4 touchdowns today, and he really didn't play that well. Am I scared of that the team will overlook the Bengals for the Chiefs? No. I'm really not, because they actually – I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I really don't think that they play down to the level of competition. It doesn't seem like that's the same team. Like the 49 – I remember the 49ers game, and that was just one of those games. But it hasn't been the case. Nick Melton says the Raiders dropped 3 picks. I did hear that Mahomes did not play well. So that – I mean, that's surprising, but – did they play down to the Broncos, though? Because I think the Broncos are a little bit better than we give them credit for. But I don't think the Broncos will be too much of a challenge. Now that seems like they are – so they lost Chris Harris today. That's unfortunate, but not if you're a Charger fan. All right, man. So is before I get out of here, let's do that. Let's make a toast. So Chargers win 33-30, 9-3. They have a strong chance to go 10-3. Players of the game, I hate doing this because I always say him, but just based off where they were, you got to go Derwin. Toast to – someone wants to toast to the Thug Life. We don't – man, it's they won a football game. That's it. So the Chargers were 3-point underdogs, and a lot of people thought that they would lose this game comfortably, and I saw that earlier today. I actually thought they were going to lose. I predicted that they would lose 27-21. I just based on the way the ball bounced for the Steelers last week, I thought they would come out to play, and just how that first half went, that's honestly what I thought would happen. But man, they just responded so well. Jackson definitely came in, changed the game, gave them a shot of momentum. But the defense, man, the defense really shut him down in the second half, gave the offense an opportunity to make a play, and it was a really good team win. Despite all the headaches, man, despite everything that you saw. So good team win, 9-3. Toast to a quote-unquote playoff berth and hopefully a home playoff game, and I think I'm going to go. So cheers, guys. Good game. great comeback. Hopefully they can carry this momentum in. Happy Phil Simber. Have a good night.
Hi, I'm Karis Fisher. I want to tell you about another podcast you should check out. It's called Recode Decode. Every week, I talk to tech and media's key players about how they're changing our world. I interview tech executives like Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, political figures like Hillary Clinton, and media personalities like John Carreyrou, who literally wrote the book on Theranos. Once again, the name of the show is Recode Decode, hosted by me, Karis Fisher. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. See you there.